Plus, like, we've won almost as many Grammys as them.
Yeah.
Like, they've won, like, what, two? So we're only two behind.
Yeah, it's close.
That's how close we are to
We're talking about the Black Keys, and you guys have won only two Canadian Grammys, which are not called the Grammys. They're called something else.
Junos.
They're called Junos.
Junos, that's right.
But what I'm getting at is that, I mean, they're only two Grammys ahead of us. Unless they won three.
In which case, they're three Grammys
ahead of us.
Well, that's okay. Because you guys won, like, four Junos, I want to say, like, a couple years ago.
Well, we won two Junos.
Okay. But you were nominated for four, or something.
We were nominated for four Junos.
I wonder how many Junos the Black Keys have
won. None.
Zero.
Black Keys have won zero Junos. So, you know.
Well, I'm here tonight with the very wonderful Dan Mangan and Kenton.
Yep.
And I'm so happy to see you guys. I was mentioning that it's been 3 years since you've been to San Diego, but you've been busy. You've been on tour, and you had a documentary, and you did a score for a film, and you got married, and you have a son. So what did I miss?
No, that's it. That's everything. That's my whole life. Yeah, we had just been going for a long time, and we needed a break. And guys like Kenton here had been doing, you know, kind of backburnering all his other projects, and Gord and Johnny and everyone else in the band. So it kind of made sense. We took this break from this project, and everyone else was able to focus on other things. I did a few things that, you know, it didn't involve the guys. And so then when we reconvened, it was sort of like a new force. It felt like everyone had taken a breath and was ready to come back kind of full steam. And then we made a record that we're really proud of and really excited to share.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the record. You guys are going to release Club Meds, and it'll be released in early 2015?
Yeah, I think it's January 12th or 13th.
Okay,
yeah.
So very early. That sounds great. Okay, so I've been listening to the three songs so far that you've released from Club Meds, and there we go. I can't even describe how cool they are. I want to say that, okay, to me it sounded like this giant bubble of sound surrounding your vocals. So what do you think about that, Dan and Kenton?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the sound has shifted. The sound is no longer kind of like a guy playing a guitar and then a bunch of people playing along. And the sound is much more sort of premeditated or kind of thought out collaboratively with the band. We spent a lot of time working out the tunes as an ensemble, and I don't know. I feel like it's a nice mixture of a lot of thoughtful performances from all the guys and a very human aesthetic to the nature of those bed track instruments, and then a lot of swirling, hazy, sort of inorganic things. But it sort of feels like a good mixture of the two worlds. What do you think, Kenton?
What do you think, Kenton? What was the process for writing this record?
Process for writing this record. Oh man, I mean, I think obviously Dan's coming up with most of the skeletons, and we sort of as a band tend to flesh it out all together. So, I mean, yeah, I don't. There was also, I mean, the writing process collaboratively, and also the arranging process was very, very much a full band experience. And I think that's kind of also, you know, giving credence to the name Blacksmith, also naming the project and bringing light to that aspect of the project also, just because it has become more of a collaborative effort, and it has become more of a band, if you will. But yeah, I mean, this is definitely the most exciting work that we've all done together as a group. It's the heaviest, if it's the heaviest stuff we've done yet, so.
I'm kind of curious, what were you guys listening to? Because, you know, sometimes you get into an artist and you listen to them all the time, or you're influenced, maybe not directly, but what were you listening to at the time as you were making these songs?
Actually, remarkably little. When my kid was first born, I spent a lot of time listening to really like cyclical repetitive music, because that's kind of what I would rock him to sleep with. So it was a lot of African music and stuff like that, and kind of ambient music. And then I had just come out of working on the film score, and that was a trip, because then you know, it's a much more cinematic thing, and there's lots of pads and mood shifts and stuff like that. And I had sort of working on the Hector film had kind of upped my studio chops a little bit, and so by the time we started the record, my head was already going, you know, a million miles an hour in terms of sounds and sonic possibilities. But I've lost my train of thought.
What were you listening to while you were making Club Med?
Not a lot, honestly. Like, I feel like when we were deep into the recording process, and even in the months prior to it, I feel like I was too busy. Like, too busy working and thinking about the music, so listening to something else just seemed like too much stimulus or something like that. And we weren't really, A-being it with other things.
I don't have a deep relationship to inspiration and then creating right away. Like, if there's something in there, there might be something in there relative to some time past or something that I've experienced or something that I've taken on. And of course, inspiration is everywhere. But when I'm writing and when I'm playing, it's writing and playing, and that's free of all other things. It's actually really disconnected, because otherwise I'm not bringing in the purest and the best and the clearest thing that I can create in that moment. So I really try to not have it be a lot of influence of other kind. I try to not listen to anything, you know what I mean? So
also, the difference between, I think we have some influences, and all of the players in the band, you could probably pick apart some of those influences, but I think it's a dangerous thing to emulate other people, because then you're not really presenting what is coming naturally from you. You're wearing a hat and a mask and a sort of a thing to be them, or like a shittier version of them, and that's weird. And I think it's okay to be influenced by things, but you have to be really careful about just trying to sound like somebody else.
So I have to offer a congratulations, because you are entering your second decade as a musician. I think you've been at it for about 11 years now or so, if my math is correct. I was curious, what has... Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing guitar since I was 10, but okay. I would only say I would be afraid to have called myself a musician for... very long at all. A couple of years.
Well, let's just give you that credit, because I think you cut a few songs out in your early 20s, maybe.
I hope nobody ever finds those songs, by the way. That is dark in a closet somewhere.
Someone probably will, but it probably won't be me. What has changed for you since you first started? What has changed even in the last 3 years or 5 years? The positives and the negatives.
I feel a greater focus of intention about writing music at all. I mean, I think for a long time, music is a fantasy. It's like this thing that you enjoy so much when other people do it, and you want to be a part of that world. And as a teenager, that was really prevalent, you know, wanting to be in a band and wanting to write music. And then it kind of worked, and we had an audience, and we were touring, and everything was going. And I feel like over the course of my life, I've sort of become more pointed about why I want to do this anyway. Why would I want to do music and not be a teacher or, you know, work somewhere else or have another means of living or creativity? I don't know. I feel like now the purpose is to have a body of work and to say something rather than just to be a part of music, which is how I started, to be totally honest. Yeah.
I actually am curious. You guys are so amazing live, so amazing that as we were talking, I am missing the Black Keys for you guys, and not regretfully so. When I saw you guys last in 3 years ago, you guys were opening up for Blind Pilot, and I enjoyed your performance tremendously. So, where does that energy come from? I mean, you guys don't seem to dial it in. Like, you guys don't just run through the songs. It seems to be that you're searching to have the audience enjoy the show and connect with the audience.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea of performing and experiencing it with an audience is that sense of us all being here together to have an experience that won't ever happen like this ever again. So we try. I mean, I think we approach the set and we approach the music very openly and hopefully imperfectly. The idea is to be imperfect and beautiful in the weird moments that happen energetically on stage, and to bring life to the song in a new and interesting way every time, so that it in itself is a powerful moment every time. And not, I mean, otherwise you're just sort of banging your head against the wall, like doing the same thing over and over again perfectly, and it loses that spark and that energy. So you have to sort of approach it with that openness and that almost, yeah, I mean, it's it's improvisational almost,
yeah.
You know? I mean, I, that's sort of like for me the way I think about it, because sort of I come out of a lot of improvised jazz, and I sort of think about how to come at it openly every time. So it's a mind frame, it's a body of work that you know the tune, but you still have to breathe that life into it every time and make it real. So yeah, I mean, it's sort of the way I think about it.
Oh, I think it shows. I think it definitely shows that, like, just the passion that comes through. And like you said, the perfections and the imperfections. That's perfectly valid. Dan, I have to say, your voice is one of the most satisfying voices. It's one of my favorite voices. But I want to know, who are your favorite voices?
Holy shit. You know who I think is a Canadian guy who I think has a very honest voice? Every time I hear him sing, I feel like, in the line of what Kenton's saying, it's like it feels like a very natural thing. I love Bri Webb's voice from the Constantines and his solo stuff, because it always just seems like it's falling out of his mouth. It's not, he's not trying very hard, and it's just always really honest and true. Who has a nice, I mean, God, there's so many people with beautiful voices.
Who do you like? I mean, what? I mean, Neil Young's one of a kind. Nobody sounds like Neil Young, but that's a hell of an experience. He's got the craziest voice.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I mean, we were listening to Otis Redding the other day. I mean, yeah. Jesus, like Sam Cooks and the, yeah. I mean, those kind of that elk of that era and everything. Those are moving, moving voices.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Tom
York. It's the crazy, almost like androgynous animal voice where you can barely even hear what he's saying. It's like an instrument. It's super bizarro and beautiful, you know.
I was recently watching that 20 Feet from Stardom mm-hmm. documentary. Mm-hmm. Lisa Fisher just slayed me. I mean, I was watching that thing and feeling like, I do this for a living? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing compared to these women,
right.
You know? Like,
yeah.
they are real, real singers, and I'm using my voice to convey a thing in a song, but they are singers. And, yeah, that slayed me. I was like, I was so inspired and also crushed by that film. And her in particular, Lisa Fisher, that kind of improvised segment that was in that they caught, it's just like,
it's crazy.
Insane, you know? And,
this kind of reminds me, your sentiment reminds me of like a documentary I saw like a long, long time ago, and it was George Michael, the airplanes. It was George Michael, and he had just done like, he was talking about the Aretha Franklin duo he had done, and he said he was in there in the studio for like 20 hours, and he was like trying to lay down his vocals, and then like Aretha walked in, and boom, she just like laid it down, and he was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And he's considered to have was considered to have a wonderful voice, etc.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's it. I think it's like it's that beautiful marriage of when somebody has done the work and has the goods and the talent and has put in the hours to know the machine of their instrument being their voice, and also has done the emotional work to be able to be present and be in the moment and allow that spontaneity and that honesty come through when they sing.
Yeah.
And those are the two things, you know, and when they smash together in those pure moments, it's like, you know, you can convey more in one ooh than you can in a whole book of words, you know.
Beautiful. We gotta have to check out some more Otis Redding and Sam Cooke. Do you want me to ask you guys a heavy duty question, or do you want to play a fun game? Or both?
I don't know. Just you decide.
Okay. Let's play the fun game, because I've never done this with anybody. So I'm gonna give you 10 couples or 10 pairs of words, and you have to tell me which one you like better of those two words. And if you'd like to explain, that's fine. But you can keep it simple and just like vote. Is that okay? Okay. So it's kind of like a word association, but a little bit more simple. Okay. And we'll go Dan Kenton first, and then, okay. Apple pie or rhubarb pie?
Apple pie.
Apple pie.
Basketball or soccer? And I know you're a hockey fan, so I didn't put that in there.
Well, I know what Kenton's going to say. oh, man. When I was younger, it would have been basketball. Now it's probably soccer, or, as Kenton will probably mention, football.
Yeah, it's called football.
Okay.
Yeah, and yes, it's the best sport in the world.
Sorry. Eat. Summer or winter?
I think winter.
Yeah, winter.
I knew you guys were going to say that. I knew, me too, but winter here is like your summer, so I guess it doesn't really count.
The luxury of saying summer or summer.
I mean, it was like 82 degrees, like today. I mean, it's crazy. Okay. Waffles or pancakes?
Waffles.
Pancakes.
Lennon or McCartney?
Lennon.
Lennon.
Of course. Books or magazines?
Books.
Books.
West Coast or East Coast?
West Coast!
That's right! I mean, you had to say that. I set you guys up. Early bird or late bird?
Well, prefer the late bird. Oh, these days I'm getting more early bird.
Late bird.
Vodka or whiskey?
Whiskey.
Whiskey.
Running shoes or hiking boots?
Running shoes.
Yeah, running shoes.
Okay, and my very last one, Dracula or Frankenstein?
You know, I think Frankenstein originally was really fucking badass, but he's kind of been, like, turned into a cartoon. I think Dracula's a little bit more sinister.
I'm gonna say Dracula.
Okay.
Dracula.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, guys, for being good sports, and I'm very much looking forward to the show. And any parting words? Anything else you want to say for us? Actually, tell me when you guys are going to tour again. I mean, hopefully in 2015.
Well, yeah. So the record comes out in January, and then we go across Canada, and then we go to South by Southwest, and then we're going to go to Europe. And then, hopefully in like late spring, early summer, we'll come back through the States.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, Kenton.
Yeah, thank you very much.